Did you know Bridgestone developed a tire using 75% recycled and renewable materials? Making a difference today for future generations. That's what really matters. Bridgestone, solutions for your journey. Visit whatreallymatters.com to learn more.
At Amica Insurance, we know it's more than a life policy. It's about the promise and the responsibility that comes with being a new parent. Being there day and night. And building a plan for tomorrow, today. For the ones you'll always look out for, trust Amica Life Insurance. Amica. Empathy is our best policy.
You're listening to the Unsung Podcast, where we talk about classic albums and decide if they deserve that distinction. And we also talk about some unsung classics in the hopes of bringing them to a new audience. And at the end of it all, we let you decide if we are right or wrong. This is the Unsung Podcast.
Talking about geniuses and innovators and making great entertainment, let's go on to part three.
So we're running out of time, obviously. Okay. And Jonah's way overstayed, and we're really appreciative of that. I heard you had some. You were smack talking about My Boys in Kiss.
Here's the thing. I hadn't even thought about this, but to me, Kiss is everything, for better and for worse, that I never was. I didn't.
Apart from Jewish.
Yeah,
they're all Jewish.
I mean, I know that Gene and Paul are. I don't know about the other dudes.
I thought they all were. Okay.
No, they may well be. I don't know.
We're going to get inundated with Kiss enthusiasts.
I really hope so.
No. I didn't get Kiss at all for a while. And then I saw a video of them in Japan in like 74 or some shit, just a show that someone had videotaped, first of all, incredibly well. I didn't quite understand how well it was produced. But their stage set and the level of production, I then understood why. I guess they're not that big anymore, but at the time they were still doing these really big tours, and they were just, you know,
still playing some big
shows.
They
still do, right?
Man,
I mean, they probably still do. But at the time they were super fucking massive, and when I saw this, I pictured people at that time that I'm sure were still going to the shows that were big, seeing them for the first time, and as spectacle, I have nothing but admiration for them, like truly. Like, as far as rock spectacle, they really made something. And what I think they made was a really shitty, watered down version of what was ever interesting about rock and roll. I think Gene would tell you the same. Like, the thing, all he wanted to do was be popular. All he wanted to do was figure out what was interesting and cool about rock and roll and manufacture it in a way that would be palatable to as many people as possible. There's nothing wrong with that, but when you talk about cereal versus art, like, to me, he made some of the fucking best Fruit Loops ever. And
yeah, the Kellogg's of
he is truly the General Mills of rock and roll. And so I don't mind people digging him on that level, but when people introduce Kiss records or Kiss as being one of those sort of better rock bands or something, I just don't know. I think they're more like, you know, they're more influential to Cirque du Soleil than they are to bands.
Where do you sit with Kiss?
I have to completely agree with you.
You agree?
Yeah. Okay. Because I love, like, going back, you know, classic rock, and grew up with, like, Zeppelin and Deep Purple and stuff like that.
Yeah, like, they aren't in the same sentence with those bands.
Yeah, exactly. There are classic Maiden records, there are classic, even, like, Def Leppard and stuff. You go back and there's great tunes.
Bring It On, the Heartbreak Man.
But, like, there's, like, one Kiss song. And it, you know, and they've just stolen well
there's,
for it.
There's I Wanna Rock and Roll All Night is a unstoppable tune. But even that, the production and the it's just the most vanilla bullshit.
Yeah, it's
fucking,
so it's washed just so, out. And,
it's Bay City Rollers, but with makeup and blood, and yeah. like, and that's fine because Bay City Rollers are cool too. But whatever.
Oh,
and,
what?
if Kiss and the Bay City Rollers are like the same fucking creature, just dressed up in different clothes.
Chris
is
going to explode at any second.
No, I want to hear. I know, and I seriously, I really want to hear.
That actually wasn't a reservation. That was more Bay City Rollers encountered some problems later in their career that.
You're pro Bay City Rollers too.
Well, I'm Scottish.
Oh, I never even put that together.
No. It's not so much that. Actually, my dad drinks one of the Bay City Rollers. That's really
odd.
Yeah. But it's just unfortunately other members of the Bay City Rollers, and especially their manager, kind of got implicated in what seems to have been the entire 70s worth of paedophilia.
I didn't know
and that. That's become a big part of the Bay City Rollers' legacy, which is a shame for the other members of the band who worked really hard.
They're sort of the lost prophets of the day.
Exactly. Exactly. I was just like, this is a band that is now tarnished by association with, I think it was largely the manager, I think, that was implicated in it. But
yeah, it was definitely.
I never knew A, that the Bay City Rollers were from Scotland, or B, that
really?
They were.
They wore tartan trousers on stage. Every single
show. They were a band that I entirely knew through their singles. And I should say single. I mean, isn't that what's their one tune?
Is that Saturday
night? That
one tune, yeah.
Saturday night. Saturday night.
Yeah, I actually know the guy that still drives them on tour, and the members of the band hate each other. Like, they literally prank each other in a non-friendly fashion, to the point where he was saying, they would say to one member, do you have time to go to the bathroom? And they'd be like, yeah man, we're not on stage for 15. He would leave the room, they would immediately go on stage and stand there waiting for him for 10 minutes until he ran out buttoning up his fly to be embarrassed. But then they wouldn't speak to each other and they'd be getting fights backstage.
Yeah, so sometimes you don't write the right single at the right time, and sometimes you're a pedophile. And both of those things keep you from both. Being immortal.
A lot of people did both, though, man. That seems...
I circle back to something for a wee second?
Now that you've
brought up Lost Prophets, they've got a song that sounds like a far song.
I know they do. Oh, I know they do.
What one?
Burn. There's a burn.
It's called Mother Mary, yeah.
It's basically ripped off the riff from Mother Mary. And I've known you for a while. I've always wanted to ask you about it.
Yeah. That was one of those early UK things where people were like, have you heard this Lost Prophet song? Yeah. So, I love that Bay City Rollers thing. So at first I thought you were insulted that I was putting Kiss with them. But wait, I really do want to hear, what do you like about Kiss?
Right. Okay.
What does Chris Kiss
say? Am I the only pro-Kiss candidate in the room? All right, I'm pretty much sure my enthusiasm is a match for the three of you.
It's clear.
I think the weird thing is, right, I really didn't like Kiss for a long, long time, and that's why about people that convert to religion have become all the more enthused by it.
You're an evangelical
Kiss fan.
Kiss fans I know, which one of my best friends, another best friend who's gone now, but yeah, one of my best friends, he is such a Kiss fanatic, so okay.
Yeah, so I mean, actually, one of the things that turns me off of Kiss the most is probably the fact that, especially early on, I was very conflicted by the morality of that whole scene, the whole 80s metal scene. I know they're a lot older than that, but they're still kind of, they almost represent it. Gene Simmons undoubtedly got into music. I mean, they admit it in their writing and their talks and stuff. They say that this is why we got into music, to get girls, to be popular. We were geeky Jewish kids and we wanted to be, you know, badass, and they did this, and they took it so far that I think there's an element of that that always sat oddly with me. One way I was able to reconcile that is because so many of the people that I admired, who I thought were different, like Bowie, were also part of that. People like Iggy Pop were also part of that. These are guys who were seducing young women, underage women. And I think there is an insincerity in the way that people talk about different acts. They consider certain acts as being debauched, you know, out of order. Kiss did some awful stuff, I'm sure, and they have... I mean, if it's like Motley Crue, they're proud of it, you know. And I'm not so sure that I've had to get to a point where I can start to step back from that, because I quite like David Bowie as a guy, but then I know about David Bowie.
We're getting into some interesting territory here, but like, as far as I can tell, that time in both British and American culture, I can't really speak to other countries around the world, but I have the feeling in the most of the Western world,
yeah,
we, as a culture, had a pretty serious problem with pedophilia.
Absolutely.
Like it was kind of accepted, whether it was like priests molesting young boys or people messing around with, I mean, it's all men doing this, if we need to say this.
Yeah.
Men, like, yeah.
Largely white men. The black community's got some interesting stuff with underage situations going on too.
Hello, R. Kelly.
R. Kelly.
Yeah. he's not out of a vacuum. I really do think, especially the hypersexualization of young women. First of all, if there were, you know, any real history buffs around, I'm sure they would tell us that this has been going on since time immemorial with castrated young boys and blah, blah, blah. And I'm sure that's true. But in our lifetimes, the 70s and 80s were a fucking kind of tough, brutal time around this that needs to be, you know, speaking of Me Too and all this stuff that's happening now. Yes, I'm totally happy that Weinstein and Cosby and, you know, people are being called out for this. And rock stars, I mean, shit, Jimmy Page, Bowie, you know,
Iggy Pop, the same girl,
Iggy,
for all three of those guys.
I guess fucking airbrush. But society needs to, it was a social thing. They weren't just monsters. It's not forgiving them at all. They're definitely accountable for their actions. There are plenty of people that weren't doing this, obviously. And I don't think it's a rock and roll thing. I don't think it's, I think there's some weird crossing of morality that happens where people want to put it on rock stars.
Power. It's all about entertainment. Power.
But yes, it's about
power and
hypersexualization of young women and about the patriarchy. Like, I think that's the deal. And it's this, none of this, and please include this part, this disclaimer, none of this is to say, I really wrestle with like some of my heroes, whether it's Lennon, Dylan, or Page, or Bowie, or Iggy. I wrestle with that legacy quite a bit. Like this thing that I was raised on, that I kind of grew up on, that I believed was so beautiful and superhero and taught me and was kind of my dad, and that in it was just like some really fucked sexuality and power stuff and abuse stuff and just, ugh. So I'm not excusing any of those people. And I think there's sort of a cultural thing that we don't want to have a conversation about that plays itself out in lots of ways that are less obvious, but just as gross. And where we find people, it's funny, none of what I hate about Kiss has anything to do with this, by the way. He's all hypersexual and stuff and brags about it, but actually that is never on my mind. Mine is purely about that I just don't think they made interesting rock and roll. Yeah,
well, yeah, because you mentioned all that, but then you didn't mention songs.
Yeah, that's
you mentioned Motley Crue. Motley Crue are the same as Kiss, except they have riffs.
To be fair, like, though, I was only halfway through my point.
No, exactly. No, you got stuck on that. It's an important point to go to, and I brought the Bay City Rollers and that brought in the pedophilia thing. So, it's a welcome digression. Leave the digression in. And what do you like about Kiss?
Right. So just to say, though, like the reason I mentioned that, though, is because that was always something that created distance between me and that metal scene anyway.
Right.
And I grew up as a Nirvana kid. I was a Nirvana kid. My first introduction to music was this notion that we didn't...
Think back against it, basically.
Was to embrace, you know, things that subverted notions of heterosexuality being, you know, cut, you know. So yep. Kiss seemed really
and
alien.
And fuck all that macho decadence. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, so
totally.
But then I think part of the honeymoon was over with some of these other people that I maybe slightly idealized. And I realized that if I was going to have any music left from these 20 years, I was very quickly going to have to try and distinguish between the artist and the art if I wanted to listen to that. So purely once that guard was out, once that they were an option for me, as I saw it, you know, from that side, it sounds very puritanical, but I was a kid, I was fine on my kind of way. Once that was off, I was like, let's listen to music. And I have to disagree. I think Kiss have a lot of great songs. I think they are master imitators. I totally take your point about things like, I Was Made for Loving You is the epitome of them ripping off a genre to stay relevant. There is no doubt of that. And then
ironically, that's actually a pretty good hook. I want to lay it at your feet.
That's really well made cereal. I absolutely get that, and it's dance floor filler every single time.
If they had better production, or they could play their instruments more, No, no, I don't mean this in a mean way. I truly believe it. Like they couldn't fucking play. And Paul Stanley wasn't even a dynamic singer. Like they didn't have any of these.
That's it. There were a lot of hair metal bands that were still had, you know, shredders or like total amazing players.
See,
and Kiss just didn't even have the players.
That's just what I'm asking.
No, we were not letting him finish.
Come on, you gotta let me finish one of these points.
Okay, yeah, wait. Name right now,
Love
five
Gun.
Songs that you really think are worth listening to.
Five Kiss songs are really worth listening to. Love Gun is a tremendous song.
Okay.
Not as good as Lick My Love Pump, though.
It's nothing like... You're talking about Beth. Beth is the one that Lick My Love Pump is a piss take.
That's
right,
too,
okay,
man.
Well, there you go, man.
I agree.
Sure Know Something is a great song.
Sure Know Something.
Yeah.
Okay.
Detroit Rock City is a great song.
Okay.
Jesus, man, there's so many songs. Do You Love Me? I mean, that's another real... access point, because Nirvana covered Do You Love Me, and as somebody that perused the Nirvana Outcesticide series, that was an access point.
And I want you to finish, and you reminded me of something else that I don't enjoy at all about the legacy of Kiss, is that I think they kind of introduced the thing I like least about Nirvana and a lot of modern music, and we're kind of spinning back to what we were talking about before the recording. They kind of introduced this kind of ironic, detached from feeling kind of thing, this kind of apathetic, like, none of this shit means anything, it's all about making loot and whatever. And even though Nirvana was aping that kind of cool guy thing that Nirvana introduced, like, again, I was a Pearl Jam kid, and I'm not, you know, they've got their flaws too, but they were super sincere, or at least Ed was. Whereas Nirvana, who I love, they thought they were the coolest motherfuckers in the room. And I've never been a cool person, and Kiss to me was like, they thought they were super fucking cool.
I mean, Nirvana were definitely more Generation X and that kind of like.
But it's interesting that they covered a Kiss song. That's very interesting
but
to me.
Cobain did genuinely like Kiss.
That's what I mean.
He non-ironically or unironically.
That's what I mean.
Sorry, like loved that band.
I know,
he also said that he's the best big show he ever saw was Aerosmith. Like sincerely, he was like, it was incredible. Yeah, and that's as somebody who was a huge critic of the hair metal scene. I mean, I couldn't disagree more when you say Motley Crue. Motley Crue is vapid, man. There is just nothing there.
What I think is interesting about that is I think Motley Crue are actually a pretty interesting heir in some ways.
They are
Kiss's
an heir,
throne.
Absolutely.
I would say so, yeah.
But Motley Crue ended up trying to do Nine Inch Nails musically. I mean, Motley Crue...
Yeah, I know. Motley Crue...
No. But yeah, he's talking about Shadow of the Devil and Dr.
Feelgood.
Oh, no,
yeah, I know. There is just
Dr. Feelgood's all about Bob Rock. I mean, now there you go. That's a band that Shadow of the Devil was big, but had that band not crossed paths with Bob Rock,
they've only got one good sounding record, Motley Crue.
That was Bob Rock record.
Yeah, exactly.
That record, and I don't even like that band, and I cannot fuck with Dr. Feelgood. Like, I'm just, it's just true.
The thing that confuses me is we spoke about this before we even started doing the podcast.
Who was Kiss with Bob Ezrin or something like that? Who was their
man,
dude?
Man, I'm not so much of an obsessive...
If they had found, for whatever reason, a really killer producer, I think,
it
at least in
quite
my
a
mind,
bit earlier
in
well,
my
well,
mind, there.
Know?
Well, but even they just couldn't sort it out, it feels like. For me, I don't know what it was about it. I mean, for me, it's about the artifice and some kind of detachment from sincerity or even kind of rejection of sincerity.
Yeah, and at the same time, you then had Judas Priest, and you had a bit later Maiden.
Yeah, super earnest metal. I mean, come on.
Yeah, I know,
no,
but
man.
Like they pushed the envelope.
They both had dudes that could sing.
I mean,
too,
well,
play.
Yeah, exactly.
Kiss is like to a large extent, to a lot of American kids, Kiss is the American Queen. They're a band that were like willing to be campy and fun and have big singles, as opposed to being super earnest.
Yeah,
like
but Queen
Judas
was
Priest.
Made of geniuses.
Absolutely, I take on board the point about the musicianship,
but the writing,
theater, and the notion of the single, like Queen were very, very much into like changing their style. You know, Under Pressure compared to Seven Seas of Rye, compared to I Want It All. These are like different bands, and Kiss.
Yeah, but they're all incredible songs.
And Kiss have got many incredible songs. I mean,
Queen have also got the same period that Kiss had as well. It's like in the late and in the mid.
I can't believe we're talking about Queen. I reject the Queen Kiss thing outright. But I like your defense of Kiss. Tell me, please, a Kiss record that I should listen to, because we're talking about albums. What's a Kiss record that you think relatively back to front works that's worthwhile?
Seriously. I'm just going to put this out. It's Greatest Hits.
I think any argument you ever had about the band just lied.
I'm not trying to put, but equally, you've not nominated a specific record for the bin here.
How long has Kiss been around? And they've not made one record that you can defend?
Kiss's Greatest Hits album is... it's up there with the best Greatest Hits albums. It is unbelievable.
No, I think there's a really... Here's what I'm going to give to Kiss. Like, on a lot of sociological levels that I can't even quite parse, I don't even know why I don't like them as much as I do, and I don't even think you know why you like them as much as you do. And this is what's interesting about that band, so I will give it to them. They're truly intriguing, and I don't even disagree with you about the Greatest Hits thing. I also just... But that's interesting to me.
Because every song I've mentioned, you'd be like, that is a pretty killer jam. Once you actually start to break it down, I mean... Okay, throwing another song out there as well. One of the other ways of getting a Kiss was the Melvins cover of Going Blind. Which is quite ironic. I think there's a lot of like tongue-in-cheek with that, but the actual Kiss original of Going Blind,
I truly think most people that
like
love
something.
Kiss don't even know whether their tongue is in their cheek or not.
Yeah, but that's the beauty.
And that's what's
of
weird
it.
About
that's,
them.
I think that's
okay,
the beauty
okay,
of that band. There is a sheer abandon of we are in so many levels of irony now that we've completely lost track.
It's
you know,
so true.
And I think there is a point where you're then forced to just engage with, do these guys have a lot of really good songs? I don't think you can make a case that Kiss don't have a lot of really good songs.
I don't know about a lot. You had trouble getting to five.
No,
and
come
said
on.
That the Greatest Hits record was their best record. So I don't know. I think and how long again? How long have they been a band? Seriously.
This is why I prep.
How long have they been a band?
Can I just say something? Like before we started this podcast, we spoke about doing a Guns N' Roses record, right?
Oh, but fucking don't
like, come
God,
on!
Don't even
Guns N' Roses are like 10. Guns N' Roses are 10.
Guns N' Roses don't have anywhere even close to the number of good songs that Kiss have.
Oh no,
like,
yes what? They do,
I
and they all have
totally
on their first
released,
record.
Yeah, that first album.
Yeah, incident.
That, no, that Appetite for Destruction is better than the Kiss Greatest Hits.
Yeah,
that
exactly.
Is
it
such
totally
a,
is.
Total
nonsense.
No, Appetite for Destruction, and Guns N' Roses are very interesting. Appetite for Destruction is a better record than not just Kiss's, but most bands' entire careers. Oh. Bands that I kind of enjoy. That record is fucking ludicrous. And...
I agree with that word, but for all the wrong reasons.
And the drop-off after that record is the most stark drop-off, I think... I that's like literally a phenomenon that I now refer to. They really set the benchmark for how good something can be and how quickly it can be horrid. So I don't understand. They're a very strange band as well. But wait. I mean, Welcome to the Jungle, no?
I honestly, there are like...
There's nothing.
Three or four...
Do you like high-voiced bands?
Hang on. There are three or four... Absolutely not. Three or four Guns N' Roses songs. Full stop. Three or four that are on a comparable level with like...
As far as
some of the songs
saying?
In terms of like fame, in terms of sheer recognizability.
Welcome to the Jungle, Sweet Child,
Paradise City.
My Michelle, Night Train.
Knock on Heaven's door.
You can sit down.
My Michelle's nowhere close.
No, those are genius. Mr. Brown, Appetite is back to front insane. But to his point, the big hits, you're right.
Hold on.
That's not a disagreement thing. That's just saying that...
We brought you here to mediate.
This number of song, this song. Okay, it's like...
Smells
Like Teen Spirit. I'm not saying it's better than other Nirvana songs. I'm just saying, though...
More recognizable.
If you went to Africa and went down, out, chicka, chicka, bow, bow, chicka, bow, out, like, people would fucking know what you're talking about, like, largely. Whereas any other number of Nirvana songs, you wouldn't. To your point, yes, Guns N' Roses have... I would include November Rain in that, for better or for worse.
Yep.
So yeah, they've got
and Knocking on Heaven's Door, but it's not their
not
song.
Not even there, so it doesn't even count.
So if you
another cover, the Live and Let Die thing, but whatever. Mm-hmm. No, I'm with you. So I'm not hits wise. I'm totally supportive of you. And Appetite back to front is a rock and roll record. I don't know.
So the metric I would use is: could you play a song to my mom and have her know what band it was? Right, and the fact is, you could play maybe five tops Guns N' Roses songs. You get a Mr. Brownstone, and she's like, well, it sounds like Guns N' Roses, but I don't know.
You're arguing that removing the obvious generational bias, that Kiss has more songs that are more universal than
Guns N'
Roses.
Yeah, that's why I disagree.
More big singles, absolutely.
You guys should start doing this for sure, because we're into a territory that's there's opinion. And there's like, do you like this?
Fake news.
And then there's opinion and then there's fact.
Yeah.
And it's sort of like the difference between like my favorite records, I'm not saying are the best records ever.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just saying they're my favorite. And there's a difference between favorite and best. So when people do their top albums of all time and they've got, you know, some record that they heard 3 years ago, I'm just like, no, you're not doing this right. Because if we're talking about the best albums, it's a really different conversation. And especially when you get into the most popular, ubiquitous songs, that's obviously not a thing of opinion. That's just you fucking survey 100 people and you got your answer. And you'd have to find a pretty small subset of people of a certain age or somehow demographic where your Kiss argument would win. I'd be willing to bet you a pretty fucking good chunk of change that outside of a certain demographic, that argument doesn't hold water. And that's not even about better or worse.
More than like 3 Kiss songs, period.
Man, you need to, God gave rock and roll to you.
Which is not even their song.
Crazy Nights.
Yeah. No, you're in territory.
I know
that
I was made you know for these songs. Me.
I know Crazy Nights and also know what's the other really big one. See, I can't even name it.
You don't know Crazy Nights?
Can't get annoyed at me for not knowing the song that we're saying we don't know. I know the song, but I just don't think it's.
I now realize that this whole podcast
famous.
Has been leading up to that moment of Chris singing Crazy Nights.
I was going
to
sing the key change. That was really good.
Guns N' Roses have more famous songs than Kiss do.
I mean, that is nonsense.
It's true.
It's nonsense. Guns N' Roses couldn't do a 21 track greatest hits album. They couldn't do it. Not even close.
Wait, but
that's not our. No.
Hold on.
That's not the point.
Kiss's greatest hits record is 21 songs long.
21 tracks.
Okay.
And by the way, like the vast majority of them.
I
want to
do this with you. Let's do this. Let's figure out what the hell's going on. Because Beth, I'm going
to
back.
Do you want me to read off it?
Rock and Roll All Night. You can read off all you want, but Crazy Nights is not applicable.
I just mean in terms of how many you know.
Crazy Nights is at best your Mr. Brownstone. Like, I'm sure a Kiss fan loves Crazy Nights, but a Guns N' Roses fan loves Mr.
Crazy
Brownstone.
Nights was top 10.
I'm pretty sure that was
when?
I'm pretty sure it was a big song.
And for how long?
80s, 90s, early 90s, I think.
You're everything you're saying is like ruining your argument when you're saying these vague numbers.
But Mr. Brownstone was never top 10. It's never even a single.
On this argument,
no,
you
but
say that, like,
Appetite, I think, charted for longer and more than any Kiss record ever did. That's what I'm saying.
Appetite itself, like, you can play any song off it, and people will know it's from that record by that band.
Yes. Yeah. Yes.
That's why I'm saying I disagree about the hits thing, because you can listen to any song on that record and you know where it's from.
This is ridiculous. Honestly, guys, like Detroit,
so
like I'm not even going for the difficult ones. Like Detroit Rock City, Love Gun.
I've never heard Love Gun before.
Going Blind, I Was Made for Loving You, God of Thunder, Shout It Out Loud.
I'm gonna paraphrase Partridge and just
rock
say
and
that,
roll all night.
That's
rock
just noise. Yeah, that's night. Rock and Roll Night. Yes,
God
that
gave
one.
Rock and roll to you. I mean, come on.
God give rock
that's
and roll.
That's seven straight away that everybody fucking knows once
they
hear
them. I recognize four of them.
Hold on. God give rock and roll?
Gave rock and roll to you.
Gave. Oh, okay. I just was making sure to make grammatical sense.
that's some Bill and Ted, isn't it?
No,
yeah.
This is a Partridge moment. That's just noise. that's all. You're just shouting out song titles that could be from any number of bands. Going Blind. I mean, I don't even know what that fuck
that is. Oh, man. Wow. Okay. Going Blind, by the way, deserves props just for having the line in it, which is them satirizing themselves, singing, I'm 93, you're 16. And I think I'm going blind.
He rhymes 93 and 60.
I mean, 93 and 16 about how he's he's an old motherfucker with young groupies. It's horrible.
Oh my god.
That's the lyrics of that song.
Oh, 93 and 16?
And when the Melvins did it, I thought the Melvins had changed the numbers because it was funny. And when I listened to the original, I was like, shit, no, that's exactly. Kiss ripped the piss out of themselves.
Oh, wow, that's how naive I am. I thought you were saying 93 and 60.
No.
Because A, that would have been a rhyme, and B, those are ages that sort of make sense.
No, he's mocking the fact that he's so old.
93 and 16.
And he's groupies are so young.
So he's outdone Winger. Well done, man. Wow. Okay, I'm literally going to go and download the Kiss Greatest Hits records. I'm going to give it a good solid listen.
I'm not.
I really hope
I know. I want to tell you a story that I think will warm your heart. When Farr was touring with Monster Magnet, just that sentence alone. Let's just stop there.
I've got a Dave Windorf story I'm going to tell you after the mics are off.
Oh, yeah. Well, I got Windorf fucking forever. I got Windorf in New Orleans, with the woman who had leather pants that had a zipper that went from the front all the way to the back so you could just unzip the whole pants. And a woman was was crowd riding. They're pretty, their whole set with a skirt on and no panties. It was one of the stranger tours. Everything.
It's a
I've
weird
been.
One for far.
But oh god, it was people. People hated us with a passion that I can still feel. It kind of fueled me how much they hated us. But Windorf and all the dudes were the nicest. And the way I was introduced to the guitarist for Monster Magnet. Was we were all talking. It was kind of awkward first day of tour. And he runs up, super unironically excited, with a copy of Fraley's Comet on vinyl, the first Fraley's Comet record or whatever it was. And he was so, so psyched. So just know that you have a brother in arms.
Well, you know what? To finish, just you have to hear Gene Simmons' cover of When You Wish Upon a Star. All right?
I agree. Without even knowing that song, I agree with what he just said.
Thanks again.
See, whenever I cringe, my elbows hurt just at the thought of it.
Yeah. Right, Jonah, thanks so much, man.
This has been amazing.
Thank you.
You've been a good sport. I've met my match for long-windedness. You two are just angels. This was super fun. I think somehow, we should let this whole thing exist unedited. Just. If nothing else, send it to me. Yeah. I'll never listen to it again, but I want to know that it exists. So I know that you'll edit it.
You're just worried because we edit out your caveats and the pedophilia.
No, I swear I'm not. I love this whole conversation, and no one would ever want to listen to the whole thing. But I think maybe if you just chopped it up into 30-minute sound bites, we'd have a whole season of podcasts instantly. So I'm just offering that out there. I want to join the unsung staff, and this was our whole season. And I would do this anytime, and I look forward to hearing the edit.
Mark,
thank you very much.
Thank you.
Can we fade to black on Gene Simmons' cover?
Yes, we'll definitely do that. I will have that again.
Cheers, guys.
Good night.
At Amica Insurance, we know it's more than a life policy. It's about the promise and the responsibility that comes with being a new parent. Being there day and night. And building a plan for tomorrow, today. For the ones you'll always look out for, trust Amica Life Insurance. Amica. Empathy is our best policy.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Imagine bold, naturally aged Tillamook cheddar slices melting over a burger, eating handfuls of thick-cut cheddar shreds straight from the bag, taking a bite out of an irresistibly bold block of extra sharp cheddar cheese. We know you want to get back to streaming, but wasn't it nice to daydream about cheese for a bit? Tillamook Cheddar. Extraordinary dairy.
Look around. You can find cars like these on AutoTrader. Like that car riding your tail. Or if you're tailgating right now, all those cars doubling as kitchens and living rooms are on AutoTrader too. Are you working out and listening to this ad at the same time? Well, multitasking pro, cars like the ones in the gym parking lot are for sale on AutoTrader. New cars, used cars, electric cars, maybe even flying cars. Okay, no flying cars, but as soon as they get invented, they'll be on AutoTrader. Just you wait. AutoTrader.
When your space has the long-lasting, noticeable scent of Airwick Vibrant Scented Oils, you'll want to invite everyone over, from book club to the fantasy league, even the in-laws.
It smells amazing.
Airwick Vibrant Scented Oils are infused with 2 times more natural essential oils versus regular Airwick scented oils for our most authentic, nature-inspired fragrance experience. Transform your space with scents like white sage and mahogany or lavender and water lily. Now that's a breath of fresh Airwick.